Good morning, and welcome to a new week of Sowing for a Great Awakening. It is Monday, September the 30th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. And a special shout-out today to my youngest sister, Erica. It is her birthday today. Happy birthday, Erica. You are a shining star. And I love you. So there. Missy and Erica have had happy birthdays on the wake-up call now. Bucket list. For me. All right, gang. It's time to consecrate ourselves before the Lord. We've got a massive entry this morning. Let's get it going. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you, and we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, All Pharaoh's Horses and Chariots, Horsemen and Troops. The often protracted battle of divine deliverance. Our text is Exodus chapter 14, verses 5 through 9. Hear now the word of the Lord. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi Haroth, opposite Baal Zephon. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Pharaoh had one priority, building his kingdom. The God of Israel also had one priority, building his kingdom. Pharaoh was looking for slaves. God wanted sons and daughters. This is the perennial battle. Every soul hangs in the balance. Slave or son or daughter? Will we succumb to the slavery of building the kingdoms of this world, or will we become sons and daughters and inherit the now and still coming kingdom of God? Pharaoh represents to us the powers of darkness, and darkness will not release its slaves without a fierce battle. The text is careful to tell us Pharaoh sent 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt. He sent the entire army with many officers, troops, horses, and riders. Finally, Pharaoh rode into battle himself in his own chariot. This is an extraordinary response and extremely lethal. This is the power of darkness. There's a larger principle at work here. It is the principle of the principalities of darkness. The kingdom and principalities of darkness will not readily or willingly or easily release their prisoners. Human effort is of no avail. it requires the delivering power of God Almighty. The power of darkness is extremely powerful, far more powerful than mere mortals. However, compared to the power of God, the power of darkness is no power at all. Divine deliverance is a complex process, and it can take a protracted period of time. The main reason for this is the preference of God to deploy human agents in the process of divine deliverance. Look at the long game strategy of deliverance in this instance. It began in the midst of a period of intense darkness in Egypt. The lawful murder of all the Israelite baby boys in the country. God began with a pair of courageous parents who made a way for their baby boy to escape death. God used the household of Pharaoh to save this child, who would grow up to become Pharaoh's nemesis. This son would grow up witnessing the cruelty of Pharaoh as an oppressor of God's people. Moses grew up with the power paradigm of Pharaoh, leading him to commit murder to defeat a murderer. Moses needed deliverance. At age 40, God took Moses out of Egypt, and over the next 40 years, he took Egypt out of Moses. Are you watching the timeline here? It took 80 years for this plan to come to launch. After launch and the unforeseen bricks without straw program, Moses had a near mutiny on his hands. It took many meetings with repeated requests and 10 catastrophic plagues to bring Pharaoh to his knees. This whole matter of divine deliverance was extremely complex, profoundly chaotic, and maddeningly unpredictable at every juncture. Despite all of this, God was in complete control every step of the way. As we observed, after all this protracted preparation, God delivered the Israelites from Egypt in one night. And yet the deliverance was hardly over. Though Pharaoh was brought to his knees, he quickly got back up. It must have seemed to everyone on the field he would have things back in hand overnight. God had other plans. I labor to make this point for two reasons. First, we need to read far more deeply into these ancient stories of our faith because they hold deep wisdom and insight. Second, we need to understand the sophisticated complexities of the kingdom of darkness in our own time, in our own lives, families, churches, and communities. We must come to grips with our utter inability and incompetence to combat it on our own with our own resources. Chiefly, we must come to a far deeper awareness and acuity with the incredible, unstoppable power of God over darkness for us who believe. We are living in an age where we desperately need divine deliverance from the deep infestation of compounded darkness in every aspect of the world around us. Our young are especially vulnerable and victimized. It will take a great awakening. Hence we sow. Even as we anticipate the culmination of all deliverance, signaled by a trumpet blast and the resounding voices coming from the heavens, you know what they're shouting? The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Messiah, and He will reign forever and ever. That's Revelation 11:15. Let's pray this prayer for deliverance. Lord Jesus, you are my deliverer. We receive your deliverance, as well as your patience and fortitude, which may be required of us to appropriate your work in us. We pray today the prayer you gave Paul to pray for us. I pray that the eyes of my heart may be enlightened, in order that I may know the hope to which you've called me, the riches of your glorious inheritance in your holy people, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. Yes, that power is the same as the mighty strength you exerted when you raised Christ from the dead and seated him at your right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. That's Ephesians 1. Teach us and train us, Lord, in your ways of deliverance. We confess our relative ignorance, and we repent from our apathy. And ever remind us that you who are in us are greater than our enemy who is in the world. Yes. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. I never get tired of singing that. You too? Well, that was a lot. Exodus, we're deep into it now. The journal prompts today. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, where do you rate your knowledge, understanding, and experience of the ministry of divine deliverance? Do you grasp that we are up against forces, also known as principalities and powers, which cannot be combated by mere education or even more money? Are you open and willing to learn more about the ministry of deliverance? Journal about that. I've been in the church for decades, and nobody's ever taught me the first thing about it, at least the part of the church I've been in. And my goodness, it's just like showing up to a gunfight with a pocket knife. That's kind of how it's gone. I mean, geez, I'm not going to lament today. Well, we got a big hymn we're singing too today, so I don't have time to say very much, even though I have a lot to say. We're going to sing a locomotive of a hymn. A Mighty Fortress is Our God. It's number 35 in our hymnal, our seedbed hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. If you haven't gotten your copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise, okay, it's not my fault. I'm telling you every day, get your copy. We've got them in the seed house. Number 35, A Mighty Fortress. We'll sing it here in just a second. I think the thing that's kind of on me to say today is one of the real manifestations, I think, in our time of the just resurgence of the powers of darkness is what we're seeing in mental illness in our country. It's no respecter of ages, but it's particularly plaguing the young. Anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation, and then the way that those lead into all manner of addictions and compulsions. Mental illness is a very broad spectrum. It's time we get it out of the shadows as some sort of just human flaw or weakness. It is a sickness on par with cancer. And friends, I said this at a funeral the other day. I said, the church is the only institution with the capacity to become to mental illness as like MD Anderson is to cancer. Mental illness is a wicked problem, and it seems to be winning in so many places. And yes, I mean, there are all sorts of medical therapies and therapeutic, you know, remedies, and those are good, but friends, they're not winning. They're not enough. There's not enough counselors. There's not enough medicine. And medicine, as much as it can help, it's not really a cure. Jesus can cure this. He can cure it, but he's going to have to cure it through processes and ways and means of deliverance. Are you hearing me? I mean, I do think addiction is a form of mental illness. It's a form of idolatry. It's an idolatry. It's some substance that's drawn a person in and said, I'm your solution, and makes you dependent on that solution in such a way that you'll destroy everything in your life to get more of it. It's promising you life. It's literally delivering you into death. And it's the most irrational thing in the universe. People will lie and cheat and steal to your face. And I don't even know if they know they're doing it. And then it's just unbelievable. Addiction. It's a manifestation of idolatry that has turned into mental illness. And yeah, I mean, I got to stop. I told you if I got started, I'd keep going on this. But let's sing, okay? We got to turn our eyes onto the Lord. He is the deliverer. He's got more sophistication than all the universities in the world in his little finger. And he'll teach us. He'll train us. A mighty fortress is our God. Number 35. I want you to hear the battle raging in this song. This is the great reformer Martin Luther who wrote this song. It's a big one. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabbath, his name, from age to age the same. And he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. All we got, church. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Amen, church. Amen, sowers for a great awakening. A mighty fortress is our God. And my goodness, millions upon millions of people are struggling in the darkness, and they're looking for this fortress. They're looking for the mighty fortress who is our God, and they are being pummeled. They are helpless and harassed, Jesus said, like sheep without a shepherd. And you know how he's going to look for them today? Through you. He's looking for them through your eyes. So be awake. Be ready. Be ready to just let the love of God pour out of you in encouragement, in embrace, in empathy, in hope, in words of blessing and assurance. Come on. Get your seats. I'll see you on the field. It's a new week. Let's go for it. For the awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.